After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was how now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, you know me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that are here. They are yes and amen. They are full of your wisdom, of direction for life. And we read here in these scriptures about people who were just like us. Normal people who messed up and you restored them. And you gave these messages for us to learn and to grow. And you have given your servant the privilege of bringing this word now. And I pray that you would anoint the words of this message, that nothing that is said would not be from you. That if there is something that needs to go, make it go. If something needs to come in, Lord, apply it to my memory. Lord, thank you for your word. We bless your name. Amen. This is our seventh and final lesson from the dinner table. We've learned that Jesus did so much at mealtimes. The truth is, that there are many more sermons that could be had from the mealtimes with Jesus. In fact, we're ending our service with communion today. And I could have preached from Luke 22, which is one of the gospel passages that talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper, which is communion. And there are others because Jesus never missed a chance to talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper. He never missed a chance to break bread with those that he loved. He loved everyone. He always accepted invitations. Here in this passage, he's with his beloved disciples. But as you recall, many of these lessons from the dinner table were from his mealtimes with Pharisees and other religious leaders who were trying to trip him up and trying to make him say something inflammatory. They wanted him to fail. In fact, by the end of his ministry, they wanted him to die. So they killed him. But Jesus still loved them. This passage begins with a fishing trip of sorts, and it ends with a commissioning. In the middle of it is breakfast on the beach. Let's look at it and learn. First, Jesus's friends didn't know what else to do, so they'd gone fishing. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We're going fishing too." The disciples' lives had been completely upended. Now, it's true. This was the third time that they had seen Jesus. It's true that they'd seen him raised from, that he had been raised from the dead. But everything was different now. The Great Commission, which came soon after this, had not yet happened. And they were still casting about, no pun intended, and Jesus told them to return to Galilee, so they did that. That was easy. It was their home area. It was easy to go home. And now here they were. There were seven of them. Five have names attached to them: Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, who we know are James and John, and two others who are unnamed for some reason, maybe to just show that Jesus had disciples who had remained faithful in addition to the 11. The 11 disciples who walked with him, Judas, had dispatched himself. Now, I'm not sure that it matters why they went fishing. It's what they knew, for one thing. Perhaps they wanted food. That's a good idea. Or they wanted to make a little extra cash by selling fish. Or if it's just something they wanted to do, they needed to do something. And they knew what they were doing. They knew their way around a fishing boat. For sure, Peter and James and John were fishermen. And Jesus had called them from their livelihood 3 years before to be his disciples. And at that time, he had promised them that they would become fishers of men. So here they were, wondering what was next. And not being the kind of people to let grass grow under their feet, they returned to do what was familiar. I've heard it said that a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. And not being a fisherman, as much as I'm a hunter, I don't quite understand that. I've never been very good at fishing. I'm not as good as some that I know, anyway. I don't have the patience for it. It's like when I go into the woods. You know, I could hire myself out to farmers when they have deer damage, okay? When I go into the woods, the deer leave the woods, okay? They leave the fields. And if I go on the lake, that kind of clears the fish out, Okay? Some people chum them in, not me. I just don't have the patience. But I think that perhaps for Peter, doing what he knew was a way to make a day better. And so he said, I'm going fishing. And since it was as good as a plan as any, they all went with him. But their night of fishing was just like any number of the times that I've gone fishing. They caught nothing. They fished all night and they caught no fishes. You remember that? They fished all night and they caught no fishes. They fished all night and they caught no fishes out on the deep blue sea. And it's just a lake, but it worked for a kid's song. And it is deep and it is blue. As morning came, they headed back for shore. But through the mist, they saw someone standing on the beach, and they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. Now, don't judge them. They were just getting used to the idea that he wasn't dead anymore. After all, they had, some of them anyway, witnessed him dying on the cross. They'd seen him die. And that was traumatic, to say the least. But he had appeared to them several times. But that was in Jerusalem. So they didn't expect to see Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which in my ESV said it was Tiberias, the Sea of Tiberias. They didn't even recognize him when he called out, "Did you boys catch anything?" That's a lot more accurate than children, okay? The word there used for children is boys. Did you boys catch anything? And then this stranger, because he's still a stranger to them, makes a suggestion as he called out through the misty distance, throw your net on the other side. Throw your net on the right side. Which they did, and they caught so many fish that they couldn't pull the net into the boat, and it didn't tear. That's important because it's in there. That's when John knew that it was Jesus. That's when Peter put his clothes back on and jumped into the water and swam to the shore. He was always impulsive like that. I'm thinking, you put clothes on to swim? But it was Peter, okay? And he was 100 yards off. And he was strong. And the other impulsive thing is that he left his friends to bring the boat in, along with 153 big fish. They had to pull it into the shallows. It was true. It was Jesus waiting for them. And it must have been Friday because Jesus had a fish fry going. And Jesus had fish baking straight on the charcoal, and he had bread. And I don't eat breakfast, and so this sounds good. You know, fish right on the fire, bread. And he added some of their fish to the fire and said, come and have breakfast. And they sat down for yet another meal together. And they all knew that this was definitely Jesus. He was the one who had taken two fish and five barley cakes and fed thousands and thousands of people. He was the one who had invited them to a Passover meal where he, the rabbi, the master, had washed their feet. And he was the one that had broken the bread at that same meal and passed it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." And at that same meal, he had taken the cup of wine and he had passed it around to them and said, "Drink this. This is my blood shed for you." And they wondered about it then. And this is the one who, when he came upon two grieving disciples on the road to Emmaus, had amazed them by how he knew scripture. And in all these cases, the Holy Spirit had kept them from recognizing him. And this stranger walked along with them and told them the scripture. And it was interesting because he knew all this stuff and he was so smart, but he knew nothing about their rabbi who had died on the cross in Jerusalem just days before. But then they had definitely recognized him when they invited him in to their home for the evening meal. Actually, they wanted him to stay with them because it was dangerous out on the road at night. And they recognized him when he broke the bread at the end of their journey. That was it. They recognized him. And here now, at this breakfast on the beach, his disciples recognized who he was as he broke bread with them. I think it's good for us as we break bread symbolically at communion today to recognize our Lord and Savior. After all, he told us to do it in remembrance of him. If there's no other lesson from the dinner table that we take away from these seven sermons, I pray that it would be that one, that we do this all in remembrance of him as our Lord and Savior. And after a night of fishing, the frustration of not catching anything had worked up a great appetite, and this breakfast on the beach was very satisfying. But there was one thing more that needed to be satisfied. Peter needed to be restored. As Peter had sat at another fire in the courtyard of the high priest, he had vehemently denied that he knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. And he didn't do it just once. He did it three times, just as Jesus had predicted. And just as Peter had insisted he would never do, he denied Jesus three times. Peter betrayed his Lord. Judas betrayed his Lord. Peter did too. Oh, he didn't sell him out to the religious leaders like Judas had done, but he'd still betrayed him when Jesus, by every appearance, needed him most. And the truth was, Peter needed Jesus most. The truth was, Jesus needed to go to the cross to die for all of his betrayers. That's us, not just Peter. So that was the truth. But that didn't make Peter feel any better. Peter had left his best friend down. Peter, whose very name means rock, had guilt overwhelming him and weighing him down like a rock. But Jesus welcomed him to breakfast because he'd not given up on Peter for giving up on him. You see, there was a very necessary conversation to be had. Peter, do you love me? Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And the first time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, Jesus wasn't comparing the love that his other disciples had for one another or for him. He wasn't making a comparison game. He wasn't asking Peter for that. Instead, he was asking Peter, and this is a long paraphrase, but do you love me more than all these things involved in this breakfast, your friends? You love me more than a good meal or a good livelihood? Fishing was a good livelihood. Or even the promise of a big payday from 153 fish. You love me more than all these things? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus was asking, do you agape me? And Peter is responding with, you know that I phileo you, that you're my friend. And some people say that that's not a big deal. I think it is. I think it is a big deal. Peter was being really, really honest here. And Jesus, hearing this confirmation, commissions him with, feed my lambs. Jesus was saying, no matter what, even if you don't get to eat, you must feed my innocent lambs. Even if you starve and die doing it, you feed my lambs. And then Jesus asks again, Simon, son of John, you love me? Agape again. Peter answers again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, like a friend. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And Jesus commissions him again with, tend my sheep. In other words, once you're done feeding these lambs, you make sure that they're cared for. Make sure all of their needs are provided. And then this third time, Simon, son of John, you love me. He uses the phileo word there when he asks. And Peter answers, Lord, you know everything. You've always known everything. When you called me from being a fisherman 3 years ago, you knew me. You knew me when I proclaimed that you were the Messiah. You knew me when I promised that I would never deny you, even if I went to my own death. You knew me when I took my sword and lopped the ear off of a bystander when you were arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. You knew me when the ladies who discovered the empty tomb were told to go and tell the disciples and Peter that you were risen from the dead. You've always known me. You've always known everything. You know my heart, and you know that I love you. And it's true. Jesus does. That's the way it is for all of us. He knows us. And Jesus gives the final commissioning, feed my sheep. And Peter was restored. And Peter lived out that commissioning in every way faithfully until he died on the cross. Now, it might have been on the beach, but it was the best breakfast ever. Eating on the beach has never been my favorite thing. There's often crunch that happens. There's too much sand and too much wind. But this breakfast on the beach meant that physical hunger was satisfied as sustenance was provided by Jesus. It meant that spiritual hunger was satisfied as the disciples were reminded that their Lord was risen and victorious over death and victorious over the grave. But for Peter and for every Christ follower then and down to the present, including us, is the promise that Jesus came to save and forgive and restore and then commission us to do our own kingdom work for the Lord. So that's why I say, when we leave here, go and be Jesus to people. That's why so many churches have over the door, as you're leaving here, you're entering the mission field. The mission field isn't over on a dark continent. That's so arrogant. Our mission field is right in our backyard. Our mission field might be in our own family. We're all commissioned for kingdom work. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. And then we're going to celebrate our holy mealtime with Jesus. And Linda's mom, Linda Springer's mom, Grandma Buck, asked me one time soon after I got here, why don't you ever have a time of prayer and preparation before communion? And I realized I was missing it. And I was so thankful for her teaching for me there. And so the scriptures talks about preparing our hearts. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about being ready for communion. And you've known it was coming. But let's spend some time just getting ready, preparing our hearts for communion. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for breakfast on the beach. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. Thank you for the example from these seven disciples. We thank you, Lord, that they recognized you. Lord, help us to see you and recognize you as well. We bless your name. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We gather around this table with you for the Lord's Supper, for Holy Communion. And you commissioned us to do this in remembrance of you, in remembrance of the fact that you died on the cross for us, that you were the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed for us. Never again was a sacrifice required because Jesus paid it all, once and for all. So, Lord, we come to you in the quietness of this room, and we offer up to you anything that we need to lift before you before we receive these elements, this bread and this cup.